Hey guys, real quick before we jump into this next episode, I want to discuss something with you. I made a decision a couple of years ago not to bombard this podcast with tons of ads or just bombard you with sponsorship. Nothing would drive me more crazy when listening to other podcasts when the first 5 minutes were nothing but ads. So I worked hard not to do that to you. I try to keep the ads to a minimum and keep the podcast as streamlined as possible. So do me a favor. Go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. Buy yourself a bag. Up your shooting game. You're going to thank me. And if you're not a rifle hunter, go buy yourself a glassing pad. Your butt is going to thank me after spending hours behind the glass. They're awesome. If you use promo code John Stallone, all one word, you'll save 20%. And lastly, please, I know you heard me say it, iTunes, Podbean, go leave us a review. I need the feedback. The ratings help me reach more people, and it helps me keep this free. So do me a favor, check out Phoenix Shooting Bags, and go leave us a review. Thank you. Let's roll into this next episode.
You gotta do a sound check to hear if you can hear me? Oh.
I've at it, boys.
Deer camp. What do guys do in deer camp after they tag out?
Well.
Charles.
Yeah, talk about religion, politics, eat ungodly amounts of food. Travel around a little bit, go to town.
Yeah, why would we go to town?
Why did we go to town? I don't know, we won't even talk about it. Well, we went to have a nice dinner, lunch. Nice
burger?
We had a burger. John had to go to town. I don't know why, though, I forgot. It's weird. We had to go to Ace Hardware, he needs some tools.
Get some tools for hanging some deer in the...
And then what else? We tried coyote hunting. Didn't really see any.
Yeah.
It was super cold.
Little deer blind action.
A little bit windy. We set up a couple deer blinds for next year, which I can't really... Look, as we were setting those up, I was thinking... I had to remind myself I'm not getting in this tomorrow to hunt again.
You were that excited?
Yeah.
You were that excited to hunt it?
Setting it up like, oh yeah, we'll get right here, and then the deer... Like it was going to be tomorrow that I was going to... You know, I have to wait till next year now.
I think you were more excited to hold that manly chainsaw and feel the power.
No. Just glad it started. What was it? What did it get up to today? What was the high today? Eight degrees or something or whatever? Got a little windy? Oh,
17 degrees was the high. It was a little cold this morning. They said the wind was 1 mile an hour when we got out in those breaks. There's no way that wind was hitting me in the face at 1 mile an hour.
Well, in the very beginning, there was no wind, and then it just started.
By the time we got in the breaks.
Yeah. So anyways, we have taken over John Stallone's podcast. What do you call your podcast? Days in the Wild podcast or Interviews with the Hunting Masters? John has 14 different names for all of his different things.
He does.
Like,
so how do we find him?
We need a branding. He needs the rebrand under one name, I think. Because he has Days in the Wild. He has Interviews with the Hunting Masters. He has John Stallone. And he probably has other things we haven't even heard about yet. What else is there? There's something else. No, there are more. What's the Hunting Channel Online? Yeah. Anyways, where we call this Interviews with the Hunting Masters right now?
Interviews with the two clowns and
kids. We don't even know who we are.
With the clown masters.
Nobody knows who we are at this point.
That's true. I'm Maria Stallone.
This is Deer Camp when guys really have tagged out and we've had a day and a half to just hang out with guys.
I'm John's
You're
wife.
Maria.
I'm John's wife, Maria.
Nice. Well, I'm Dan Graff. How's that? Now everybody knows.
You are Dan Graff.
And I'm allergic to headphones and podcasts, but here John has convinced me.
You live here in South Dakota in White Horse, White Wall.
Wood.
White Wood.
Oh, yes, sir. White Wood.
That's pretty racist, really.
It was before racism.
It was before. It was before.
Yeah. It was before racism when they named it.
They're trying to protect their wives there. Only white woods allowed in this town.
And Charles, you're from a state of
what?
California?
Well, I'm from Michigan.
And there should be three states now. It's a country. The country of California that should be three countries.
So I'm Charles Whitwam. John has me on from time to time to discuss things when he runs out of things to discuss with real hunting masters. But, yeah, I live in California. Anyways, we're here in South Dakota, deer camp. John and I got done rather quickly on our hunt. To compare it, this is my second mule deer hunt for archery. And last year it took me the entire time.
Six?
Yeah, to actually finally kill something. I did kill something, small buck, like a really small buck. But I was, that was my first mule deer. This year, day one out in the evening, I killed a buck, which was much larger than last year's, and I was super happy for it. Gosh, now that I see all these, we can't walk out the door without seeing giant bucks. I'm like, maybe I should have waited another half day. But
if you'd have waited more that evening, I think
even probably
you'd have seen multiple bucks. Right,
yeah, because it was 2:30 when the deer first started coming in. I think I got in the stand at 1:00. It was 2:30 when they first came in, so. There was plenty of time there. But, you know, man, when you're in a tree stand and a big old mule deer come, they all look pretty big.
I know it. And they look different from the air.
It was a 4x3, 15 yards away. I'm like, you don't know what's going to happen the days ahead. And this is a way bigger jump. Yeah. Bird in the hand. What's the full saying? Bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. John always says that. So it's his fault. It's his fault, really.
John's doing a radio check in the background.
But anyways, no, I killed a 4x3. I guess we can get to that. Just jump to the story of since I'm talking about it right now, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good time.
So that afternoon, I decided to get up in the tree stand. It was about an hour and a half till I saw.
Well, before that, you had a. We saw plenty of deer in the morning, and you even killed something before this deer in the morning.
I did kill a rattlesnake.
Yes.
That's significant. It was pretty cold outside, too. I was I'd seen some deer bedded, some does bedded, and I kind of broke off from John and you. And I went Charlesing, as John calls it. I wasn't trying to go on a long hike. I was trying to just... I was going to stay up top and just sort of walk around and get the feel for the place again. And I saw some does bedded down, so I was like, well, there's a good chance there's a buck with them. I'm going to go down there and see what's there. And as I'm above them on a knob, I heard some buzzing, which did not immediately... I didn't recognize it as a rattlesnake. I sat there for a second and I went,
wintertime South Dakota,
what have I been listening to here for the last... It was probably only 3 or 4 seconds, right? And I looked to my left... And 2.5 feet to my left, there's a rattlesnake coiled up, just, and I'm like, oh, man. So.
That is real good.
So I took a yucca, and I found a yucca, and there's no rocks around or anything. And expired that threat. That threat. And then cut its head off. So anyways, there was no buck with the does. And then by that time, you guys had a horse. You guys were trying to use a horse as a decoy.
That's a great part of the story. And that's huge. Catching that horse. We should have had video of the horse whisperer here.
Yeah, you guys
John eating Luna granola bars trying to get a horse.
So when you caught it, what was catching it? What was this?
Time. Just patience. They spun around and spun around in the corral long enough. And they're like, all right, I give up. And they finally looked at us, and
you could
it
go
took
take
forever.
The...
John cannot hold his tongue right now.
How did you, what'd you grab onto to?
They were running away from Dan.
Okay.
And then me, the guy from Brooklyn.
Yep.
Horses and I don't go together, but I was standing outside, and I put my hand over the fence, and he came right to me.
Oh.
I came in, and then he calmed down.
Really?
If I had to put a rope in John's hand, I'm sure they would have run away from him just as fast as they ran away from me. They could
horse
see.
Horse whisperer.
And before we did that, we got permission to catch the horses.
So wait, what did you grab onto to catch the horse?
Well, I just put my arm over its neck and put a halter on it.
Okay.
Over his face.
Okay.
Know?
So.
Wrestled him to the ground.
Yeah.
But we knew that these horses would be hard to catch. Grandpa Bill said he was out there this morning. We got permission to catch him, and he said, but they're going to be hard to catch. So it wasn't a surprise that we had to run them in circles. Yeah, maybe 20 minutes.
When you guys had said that, I figured a horse had got out, and you guys were trying to chase it down in the fields.
Yeah, we're trying to catch a horse,
that's
Charles.
What I was
we're busy.
Thinking in my
you
head.
Kill
you,
you kill your rattlesnake.
Chasing a horse. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you guys are up top. I hear the horse up there. I'm like, oh, you're not too far away. And then we'd spotted some bucks or something. I think one of them I went after, and they're like, oh, that. I actually went about three quarters of the way, and then we figured out it's on the other property. So I came back up. What did we do? So we're on like 2 hours of sleep.
Then I had
also
to get the four-wheeler, haul you guys back and forth.
Yeah, haul this
and
back
then
up
we
the
come back here to the house and add a little food.
Yep.
And then we
And then said, let's get right back out.
And then for
it's getting dark dark, it's at 5, basically.
Yep.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
So we ate some lunch. We're on 2 hours of sleep from our delays of travel the day before, and
this is also a true trip of untied boots. This is we know now, and you sit in the tree stand, you don't tie your boots.
I have not tied my boots the entire trip. No, I did today at Ace Hardware.
Okay.
I don't know why, because I felt like I just kept stepping on my laces. But
maybe that's
I felt weird. I stuck out in the town of Phillip, South Dakota. So then I got in the tree stand and then wasn't up there that long, and I was hating it. I'm like, why am I up in this tree stand? It's the first day. Like, why am I being so patient on the first day? There's no time for that. And I'm on my phone. John and I are texting. John's like, you see anything yet? I'm like, no, I saw. I was saying, what did I say I saw? I saw a pheasant. And I said, like, I saw a bird. Like, I was being funny, you know, whatever. And then while we're doing that, I'm like, there's deer under me right now, John. And then that was about it.
Like
for
under
phone.
You, it meant literally under you.
I think he kept
texting
me because I could hear my phone going, dirt, dirt. And I'm like, I have no time for this. Because from that point on, for I guess the next hour and a half, I had deer within 15 yards of me.
Constantly.
Constantly. So I'm in contorted positions.
And they're doing what? Bucks moving doe? What are they doing?
Well, at first it was does feeding. And then soon after, I saw the buck, you know, coming in on them. So I'm just trying to... it's a completely exposed. Basically, imagine a telephone pole, and then you put a tree stand on it, and that's all you got.
That's all you got.
So,
and there's trees.
There's trees down below, but there's no cover around you.
Yeah.
So I'm trying
to. And the trees,
to,
how much shorter are the trees than your pole you're standing in?
Man, 10 feet.
You're
least,
looking
probably?
Over the top. You're high. You're 10 feet higher than the trees that
and
are
it's
around
on the edge
you.
Of a field.
Yeah, and you got corn to your left, you got corn to your right.
Yeah, there's corn in different spots, and all the deer are right behind me, which the tree stand is facing the other way, so everything's behind me. So I'm in contorted positions. I'm trying to not make eye contact with the deer. Like, I'm trying to keep my eyes kind of squinted and stuff just because those... I'm used to hunting whitetail, and they're used to looking up at trees, and they'll lock eyes with you, and man, if you're... And it's always when you're like... gonna stand up and you're halfway between sitting and standing
sure.
So your knees are bent and everything
and
that's when
move.
They catch you and you're just like and you're holding your bow in one hand and you're like and you start shaking so I'm like I don't want to be in this position. It's the worst position to be in, so I'm just trying to get everything that I got. These deer aren't used to people being in tree stands. I learned that
fairly fast
but they weren't coming out in front of me. There was no shot opportunities really. There was really small windows and the buck was just kind of circling and circling and circling and kind of running the does around, and then they kind of disappeared for a little bit. So I don't know if they laid down or something. Then finally they came back out. To me it seems like it's been a half day or whatever, you know, that I'm waiting on them. And then, but so the three does that I originally saw, they came back out into the field like, oh, perfectly. This is perfect because the buck's going to be right behind them and he's going to walk the same trail that they are, and there's a little opening where I can get a quick shot, 15 yards. So, And I see more deer come. I'm like, oh, my God, there's 12, 15, there's tons of deer, all does. And then finally, the buck is almost right underneath of me. He starts rubbing on some trees. And he kind of scoots over and goes through that opening to follow the does that were in the field. And that was my shot opportunity. And at that time, there was does that were almost downwind of me. Every movement that I made from that point on, they were going to see me. So I was just hoping I could get away with it. And I did. I got away with it, pulled back, made a great shot on the buck.
Oh, God.
I had so much time to get it in my head to not shoot high, make sure you make a good shot, pick a spot.
Yep.
So that helped. And then, I saw the arrow go in and he ran, I guess, I mean, it's about 10
yards,
really.
But the arrow
really,
didn't pass through. You thought
it hit.
Pass
through.
It hit the other
he
leg?
He was slightly quartered, and I aimed for the opposite leg, so it hit his other leg.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever it hit was basically where I want to hit any deer ever for the rest of my life, because it was a quick expiration.
Very quick.
It was really, really quick.
Yeah, he didn't go very far. If distance is your indicator, yeah. I mean, in two jumps, he's dead.
Yeah, basically. And he didn't even really run hard.
Yeah.
Right? So he's dead. I knew he was down. And the doe stayed there.
Yeah.
So I just kind of stayed up there like, well, I don't want to blow this area out. I don't want them to get used to, somebody being in the tree stand or some kind of a threat being in the tree stand or whatever.
Yeah.
You
so,
know what I mean?
So
and
kind of what I started this podcast was about the, what you do in deer camp. So you kill a buck, you're celebrating, you eat a little food.
Yep.
You haven't slept that much the night before.
Oh, wait, before you get to that part.
Now John has something to say. I don't know if they can pick you up on the mic, John.
You should tell them about, you should explain that what that tree stand is. Because there's no trees in South Dakota. Like,
yeah, I mean, these trees that are here, well, we talked about that. This stand is 8 to 10 feet higher. But it's a pole that's sunk in the ground. It's an old telephone pole that's sunk in the ground 6 foot. And there's a ladder stand on it. And you're skylined everywhere you can see it. You can see it from the neighbors a half mile away.
And there's like 8 strands of Christmas tree decoration.
Yeah, Matt, the landowner, found an old Christmas tree, a fake Christmas tree. I nailed them up just to try to break up an outline at some degree. But the tree stand worked perfectly.
And that evening, I'll talk about the weather. I overdressed. Just because I knew it was going to be super windy, it wasn't cold out at all. But I still overdressed. That was fine. It was a little bit toasty. But what was it that evening? That day it was in the 60s. The very next day,
yeah. No, that night was the warm night.
That night was the
warm
night.
Then the next night we're getting.
That's when everything.
The next day got cold. Right away.
That's when everything got cold. And this morning
it
was
60. Not really. It was like what 30 in the morning and then 60 degrees in the
dirt. Yeah, they said it was like a 32 degree swing.
Yeah.
Freaking drop, like. Yep.
So big change in weather.
Big change in weather. And we knew, anticipated deer moving. They were.
They were moving.
You could talk about that night after we got his buck.
They were moving the whole. They're moving all the time.
We went to go pick up Charles and his buck and.
Get his buck out, simple drag. Charles was impressed about how far we had to drag it, maybe 25 yards to the pickup.
That was one of the easiest recoveries ever.
Fun to see how big of a body it is, though.
Yeah. No, it's impossible. It's crazy to understand until it's on the ground, if you're not used to mule deer. And lately I've been, basically hunting blacktail. So we got him out. We gutted him out. It was cold out already, but it was going to get colder, so we didn't need to skin him. We didn't need to do any of that, so we could just hang him. And then that night, we somewhere in the gutting process, I said, "Hey, let's eat the deer
oysters."
Nuts. Let's eat the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters, yeah. Be politically correct here.
So that's what happened. So we looked up a quick video. Stephen Ranella came up with basically like, you know, put it in a pan with oil and keep throwing the oil on top of the nuts.
I had an idea because I've cleaned them before and I've tried them before.
That's true.
So we tried it where we tried to clean them, but they didn't peel when they
were
fresh.
To peel them. Right.
They didn't peel like.
But in
like
the video,
cattle.
He didn't do that, so we're like, all right, well, let's we won't continue that. So we had duck fat.
That's right. Duck fat.
So we fried it in that, and everybody ate it, and I thought it was one of the – no seasoning, nothing. We didn't do any kind of seasoning. I thought it was one of the best things I've ever had.
I thought
personally
delicious.
Thought it was
John,
super good. I was impressed.
Best thing I ever had, but that
better than you thought it was going to be.
John – John's funny quote was, "This looks like an octopus sausage." An octopus sausage. But they were delicious. That duck fat, I think, was big.
And we ate...
I think if we did season them a little bit, they'd even been better. Were real good the way they were.
If we had seasoned it a little bit.
A little salt.
Yeah, a little salt or something. I don't know. Just as they were, I was... I don't ever want to let those... I don't ever want to not eat those now.
There's frozen
I can't
ones.
Believe I haven't.
There's frozen.
I can't believe how much you've talked about nuts on this trip.
Yeah,
yes.
It left an impression on me.
It was good. But with all that sleep deprivation and excited about, we didn't go to bed like we should have.
No, well, John did a little. He went to bed fairly early. You and I stayed up.
Yeah, and this is some of my favorite parts of deer
camp. World's problems. Basically,
this is some of my favorite deer camp. I mean, the hunting part of it's awesome. It's fun. But the discussions that we had last year that I videotaped you guys secretly in the back seat.
Yep.
No, I was in the back seat. You guys were in the front seat.
John, you were taping John and I secretly in the back seat.
This is okay. I corrected it before you guys even
and now
noticed
I like
it.
Nuts.
I
mean,
I caught it, but I was like,
you know, let's do the math here. Yeah, that's awesome.
But Charles, just talking about Jesus, talking about the Bible, talking about people,
everything, politics,
people.
Talked about.
I mean,
yeah, everything.
How to love people. It's big. It's life. But then.
And we started that last year, too. We talked about a lot of that last year, so we knew we could get right into that.
That's
you
true.
Know,
that's true.
This year. So, so that's some of the deer camp stuff that we...
What do you do when you're not hunting? Huh?
That we talked about. And then what else happened? Let's see. I got to give the headset over the... I'm not going to tell John's story. I got to give the headset
this
over to John.
This is true.
Yeah. Okay, so... Dan just handed over the headset to John. And it's time for John to tell his buck story.
Day two was not my big buck story. Day three is my big buck story. Day two, we started off out by the cabin first thing in the morning. And we're sitting there glassing. And a big buck runs four does up by it beside us. And I go...
Yes.
I grab my bow. I could totally kill this buck, but my rangefinder's not working. And the rangefinder, I'm like, somebody range him up. Somebody range him up.
I was confused by that. You said range it up. I'm like, why aren't you ranging it? What's happening? My rangefinder was still locked in its cage. We had just got there.
I know.
This is first thing.
I know. Right? My freaking rangefinder decided it didn't want to work. What it was, we found out on my loophole. When the the level of the lighting, like, you know, like you can put the display level. There's like level 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh,
and
LCD
when it's on, when it's on 1, you cannot see anything. I think it's meant for you to see in the dark or something. Like it's that faint. If there's any bit of sunlight, you can't see it.
Okay.
So and. Because you can't see it, when you hit the mode and stuff to try to change it, you can't see it to change it. And I didn't know. I thought it was just a dead battery. So I'm freaking changing the battery out and this and that. Whatever. Long story short, I didn't end up getting that buck because he was gone before I can. But he would have been I think he would have been dead. He was inside.
Oh, man.
He was on the fence line.
He walked right up to us. Yeah, and we're not talking about a property fence line. It's just a cattle fence line.
Yeah, he was on the cattle fence. Yeah. Excuse me. And that cattle fence was 75 yards from me.
Right. And he just followed
me. I mean, I found that out after
all of a sudden, there he was.
75 yards.
Boom.
But broadside. Yeah. Nose down.
Didn't know we were there.
Just looking at the four does in front of him. But.
So you went after him.
I went after him. And so I dropped in after him, and I thought that he continued to go to the west, or excuse me, to the south. I thought he kept going down south, going south on the, you know, basically up the or down the draw. And what happens is he went, but then he made a hard right, and he went straight down below, like he was like literally down below us.
You thought he was continuing in the direction it looked like he was going to travel, but
right.
He didn't.
No. Yeah. He went down, and I kind of slid down there, crept along, and I'm looking intently to the south, trying to pick him out. Got my binos up, and I'm like looking. I'm trying to look into the, you know, it's such broken up country that they could be 5 steps one way, 5 steps the other way. There's not a lot of vegetation, but it's so broke up that you wouldn't. And I'm like, oh, shit, where the hell did he go? I was just about to turn around and come back up over the top and, you know, walk along the top and look down into the cuts. And as soon as I kind of like started to back up, I look over to my right and there he is staring at me at 50 yards. And I kind of like started to turn and he blew.
Got
and he
pegged. Ran. Yeah.
So I don't know how long he was standing there looking at me when I was glassing, but it probably was the whole time.
Right.
But that he was a big buck, man.
Yeah,
I would wager to say he was close to 180. That was the 5x4, right?
Yeah, 5x4. Yep.
Yeah, he was a nice buck.
So then, right after that, God, I'm trying to think. We've seen without it's. I feel like we haven't. We did not put in the effort we did last year for looking for bucks. This year was just like every time we would put the binoculars up,
there was a big buck
in our binoculars.
There was a big buck.
So it's hard to actually remember.
And they were so last year, how could I paint the picture for everybody to understand? So we're hunting this giant canyon complex, okay? It's river break, cedar break country. If you can picture the Grand Canyon, okay, on a really small scale, you know, nowhere near the elevation change. But basically, all flat or up top is all flat and ag land and cattle ranching land. Everything's up top is flat. And then you have this giant hole with all this broke up country and cedar trees and like sagebrush and whatnot. And that's where the deer are living. And they come up out of these bottoms and they feed in the ag fields at nighttime and as we found this year, because the corn was still standing into the morning a little bit, and then they drop back down off and they go bed down and do their thing down there. So last year, there was cut cornfields on the other side of the canyon, and we can't hunt those cornfields because they're not part
like
of
an
our
hour and a half hike away, or something, and
exactly. And
off the property, even though we could get close to it and they'd jump over or whatever, but it was just it was a journey.
So last year we spent a lot of time glassing far away and making moves on bucks that were far away.
Right.
And, you know, so that's why we put a lot of effort. This year, because of the way the rotation of the crops were, most of the deer were on our side. We didn't have to drop in after them very far if there were, you know. Or we didn't have to cross the canyon and go up, you know, on the other side and, you know, try to ambush them there. Absolutely. We were seeing bucks all over the place. But
there was we didn't have to lose weight on this trip.
Exactly. So, and then that evening, I got into the tree stand. I got into the tree stand myself that evening. It was, it's scary as F, you know. It's a freaking scary ass ladder.
Well, it's never not windy here, so you know.
Yeah.
There's that.
It's literally a lodge pole or a telephone pole, sunk in the ground 6 feet, like Dan said, with a 24-foot ladder stand attached to it.
Yeah. And sit on top of a flagpole, and that's...
Yeah, if you were to sit on top of a flagpole, that's exactly the feeling.
Yeah.
So it sways a lot, and when you go to stand, the whole thing kind of does, you know, this...
I'm doing back the and forth.
I'm doing the Humpty Dance over here, but it's it's scary. So which brings us to morning number three, which is... It was seeing all kinds of
bucks. I think we would, you know, half stalk a few or whatever. I don't know. Seeing all kinds of bucks. So now we're morning number three.
Yeah,
I can't remember what happened the rest of the first day. Anyway,
so we seen what, three bucks, and they were up in right at the edge of the breaks and where the cornfields meet the breaks. And they were just kind of, and then there was the two that were in the CRP.
Yep.
So it was $2 in the CRP, and I think $2 right at the edge, right?
You guys were both in the little old house,
right? You were at the barn.
At the barn. Yep.
You were at the truck at the barn. I was sitting. Let me back up to figure out
how to get all the lights off inside of the truck so I could.
Let's back up. What happened is we all went to the cabin.
Yes.
So the cabin's this old, you know, disheveled cabin that's falling apart.
Looks like a tornado.
Yeah, basically. But the way it's set up right now, it's literally right at the edge of the canyon, and behind it there's corn. So it's like almost like a ground blind. But it's also a great place to glass from because there's no back wall.
Right.
There's no back wall. You could sit inside the cabin and stay a little bit out of the wind somewhat and glass the canyon. So the plan was... Hell, the morning before, a buck chased some does up past this into this corn that's behind us, and I almost got an opportunity. So why don't we open up these windows, and we'll sit here, and we'll glass the canyon, and hey, maybe a buck will come up. Well, we're sitting there. Well, when we got there, then you realize that you forgot your warm weather stuff.
Some of it. And the tripod was out of the truck.
Oh, and the tripod. That was the other thing.
Go back and get the tripod.
So you were like, all right, this is all before dark.
Yeah.
It's all in the dark, all before light. So you jump in the truck and you go back to the house to get your tripod and the rest of your warm gear. And on your way back, I radioed to you and I said, don't come here because there is deer right in front of me.
Yeah.
I had a small buck and a few does.
And you can
at
hear,
30 yards. And I can hear them. I can hear some of them running. I can hear a buck running a doe in the corn.
Yep.
So anyway, not 30 minutes after first light, all that kind of dissipated. Nothing became of it. You were sitting over there by the barn and we were glassing over you to the a CRP field and the cornfield that are close to where the tree stands at.
Yep.
And that little, we could also see from that angle, we could see the edge of the breaks, you know, that come up into that cornfield.
Yep.
And there were several big bucks over there. There was two in the CRP field and two on the edge. I think there was at least four, and there was like 15 does. And there was a couple whitetail does. And so I decided I'm going to go over to meet up with Charles by the barn. And we used the barn. We got to the inside edge of it. And we're looking through the barn window. And I can see this buck is in a good area to go after him. And I got out. I used the CRP and some mounds that were in front of me. I kind of snuck around. And then I made my way to the corn. So how can I mean? It's hard to paint the picture. So there's a block of corn. Yeah. That's like a basically a rectangle. Okay, that's I want to say what 60, 70 yards.
Yeah, it's wide. Like strips of corn, and then open field, and then strips of corn, and then goes down to the break. So it's just broken up in patches, if you will.
Patches. Patches.
Yeah. and this is all within, all these bucks we're seeing was 200 yards of the tree stand that I had been in.
Oh, there was a couple. There was a couple that were 20, 30 yards from the
5 yards of the tree
stand. If I was in the tree stand that morning, I would have killed that buck. If
you
were in the tree stand,
you could have shot that one. Yeah. So they're all in the same area. Just to give you an idea of location wise, this is why we didn't lose any weight. They're just everything we saw. We didn't have to move.
No,
we could
it
have.
It wasn't.
But we didn't have to.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah, there was tons of bucks out in the breaks where we would have been hiking our asses off, but there was bucks up on top by us where we were allowed to hunt.
Right.
So and it didn't make sense.
Wherever the does are,
the
bucks are
exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I get in this one block of corn, and I'm just sliding through quietly. And now it's a windy ass day. Well, unbelievable! It's windy in South Dakota. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, if we got 25 mile an hour winds, so I'm pretty well covered sound wise getting through this corn, and I'm just, you know, shimmying my way through, and I keep getting closer and closer, and I came out to the edge, and I could see the buck. He was jumping back and forth over that little
the one that was by the tree stand.
Yes.
Yep.
I could see that buck, but I was like 90-something yards from him at this point, and I was like, yeah, I need to get closer.
And he's moving.
Yeah, he was moving, and the CRP is kind of tall, too, you know, so I don't want to, like, take a super long shot and, be guessing exactly where I'm aiming and whatever based on anatomy. So I'm like, I got to get closer. I'm like, I know I could. So I just went deeper back into the corn, and I cut the distance, and then I started sliding my way back out. And I slid my way back out, and by the time I got there, he had gone deep into the trees.
No one could see him.
Yeah, you guys couldn't see him. So I just hung out there for what, like, I don't know, half an hour maybe? I was getting freaking like a cold, long time, man, because I shed a lot of clothes because I thought, you know, I'm going to be moving for... Yeah.
I kept seeing butts, and I could see some butts of some deer. He was in there every once in a while, and then I kind of lost him, and then, yeah, and then you got surprised...
Right.
Dan and I knew that these deer were about to run over John. And so I put the binoculars over to where John is. I'm like, oh, there's John right there in the corn. And I'm watching these.
Oh, that's when the white-tailed does walked up on me.
And they were seriously.
They literally
past
got
to you?
No, they got to 3 yards.
Yeah. Like right next to you.
Right next to me. 3 yards.
Yeah.
And she was looking at me, yeah. And she head bobbing. She's like, what the fuck? You know, like, what is that? And then. They trotted off, and she stopped again, like 15 yards, and like it wasn't even looking at me. If I wanted to draw back and shoot her, I could have.
Yeah.
And then she turned and looked at me again, and then all of a sudden they started blowing, and they ran. Oh. They put their tails up and ran. Well, I think at that point she had come over far enough, then she was getting my wind. So at this point, I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do. I text Charles, and he's like, that other buck is still on the side, the big one that you saw. See, I thought that original buck that I went after was an easier play than the other bucks that we saw that were on the breaks. So you're like, he's still there, he's bedded down, blah, blah, blah. So I cross the CRP.
We talked about, what do you want to do? Do you want to... be aggressive.
Right.
You want to go after, because...
I mean, it's day three. I don't...
Yeah, you could just wait, sit in the tree stand of the night, and you'll probably kill one of these bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to be aggressive right now? And it's like, well, they're not going to get... These aren't pressured, highly pressured deer.
No, this is...
So,
and it's private land. I mean, it's private land, and it's big cattle country. I mean...
You were just like... I mean, you did exactly what I would have done. Like, well, I mean, it's pretty early. What time is it in the morning? It's still early in the morning.
It was about 7:45.
Yeah, right. So what are we going to do the rest of the day?
Because I killed that buck right at 8:05, I think.
Yeah. So you were like, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
great for me to watch.
I looked on my Onyx, and based on the description I had gotten from you and what I remember seeing before I left, I'm like... I know if I go in the corn here, I'm gonna be able to get to the edge, and I should be within 30 yards. I was planning on coming out of the getting to the edge of the corn and having to turn my head to the right and see him up closer to where those telephone poles come down. So I thought he was gonna be about 30 yards that way, and I was gonna get like an angled shot at him. Anyway, well, where I came out. You guys couldn't see him anymore, right?
No. So
no, I didn't come out.
No,
where I
was
coming.
While you're doing this, I'm watching. I got pretty discouraged because there was another really good buck.
Oh, you told me that's after the fact, and I didn't know it.
In the tree stand, and I saw him bust out, and I was like, all right, I think
I inadvertently busted out of the bucket. I think
he busted
right.
that out, and that really stinks. And then at the same time, all the deer, for whatever reason, from angles that they could have never seen John, could have never smelled John. I'm like, man, they're all just moving right now. Like, all of them at the same time. Away from John and just going down into the breaks and out of sight.
Yeah.
And this is after Dan and I were watching two bucks
square off.
And, like, it was just circling and, like, here's another buck. Oh, there's a buck over there. I'm not even going to.
It was crazy. You know, there was just, it was like, just, it was insanity.
Everywhere we'd look. So this is happening while John's coming in. I'm like, man, like, what is it with this? You know, it's like, that's discouraging because there's nothing really that should have moved all those deer except for. It seemed early in the day because the first day we were there, what time? We got in late because we had 2 hours of sleep. We were out until 10 and we were seeing bucks till 10. So I'm like, they're still up top at 10.
Well, we were seeing
them. So I'm like, why are they moving down low right now at 7:30? Anyways, this is while John's doing this. And
so
I'm watching stuff
unbeknownst to me, all this is going on, but I'm still making my way. I picked my course of action. And right or my line of sight here, and I'm getting to the edge, and I'm about four rows back from coming out of the corn, and I just had sent you a message, and I'm like, and you sent me a message, oh, I can't see them, blah blah blah, whatever.
Yeah, the buck.
And literally, I look up from my phone and I see antler tips. So, I'm in my head. I'm thinking 40 yards at this point, you know. And I'm like, and they're coming towards me. So I didn't grab my rangefinder. I didn't grab anything. I just put my phone in my pocket, clipped my release in, and I drew back. And here he's coming. He's walking up. And now I could see his, like, basically from his chest all the way up to his head. Because where the corn ends, if you could picture it, it literally takes a slope down. It goes down, right down, starts heading straight down to the bottom. You know, from that point, it goes, it drops like 300 feet, and then it keeps on going to the rest of the.
So basically,
the
where the buck had been the entire morning that
was
I've been
just
watching,
below your eyesight
up there for 2 hours. He'd laid down up there. He squared off with another buck, whatever. And he just can't come back to the same spot. All he did, because it kind of looked like they were trotting when I saw him. Looked like they were trotting away. All he did was he went from the flat, you know, field up top where the corn is. Move down 50 yards. That's it.
That's it. And 50 yards
I
is,
couldn't see that.
50 yards is a 20, 30-foot drop out of elevation.
Right.
So he was walking back up to me, and I think he caught a little bit of movement from me, and he, in his head, he thought I was a doe. He automatically threw his head up.
Because he had a lot of does with him in the corn and everything. Yeah.
Threw his head up, and he starts lip curling. As soon as he did that, and I was already a full draw. And I was at full draw for 30 seconds at this point. He put through his head up. I saw the white throat patch. I saw a little freaking opening through the corn. And I'm like, I'm shooting this fucker.
Yeah.
Whack.
Boom.
Smack him right there. Drop like a sack of potatoes. I run to the edge of the corn. Load another arrow.
At that point, both Charles and I could see him.
Yeah.
I could see. Yes, I could see John. And I was like, what is going on? And then you, after you take, I'm looking at you in the binoculars. I'm like, he's a full draw right now. And, oh, he just shot.
Then
he's loading up another arrow. Yeah. He's shooting again. I don't know what's going on. You know? And then, you call me and you're just going nuts. Yeah. Anyways, so you drop
the let me explain the whole three arrow thing because one, I wounded a couple of deer this year, and I wasn't about to lose another
one.
You
want to make sure.
But I shot this, and he dropped, but he was flopping around. Like you know, every once in a while, and I, because of the corn, I didn't see how good I hit him. I started to think maybe, oh, I just nicked him in the spine, and that's why he dropped. You know, like I nicked him in the neck and whatever. I don't know. I just wanted to be sure. So when I shot the first arrow, I was so close to him, and it zipped right through him that I didn't even see it hit him, and I thought I missed.
Right.
So I loaded another arrow real quick, and I shot again, and then when I walked over to him, I'm like, oh, great, now I got three holes in this fucking deer.
Yeah.
Honestly, you'd let everyone know you center punched that throat.
Oh, yeah.
It was a complete
center post. Oh, yeah. No, I severed his everything. He was done. He bled. I mean, there was blood everywhere.
Yep.
But then the reason why I...
Max Carnage.
Honestly, it was because I lost deer in Nevada, and I was just like, I had an opportunity to stick another arrow in that buck that I lost over there, and I hesitated, and I didn't do it.
Yep.
And I feel like if I didn't hesitate, I would have that big buck, and I wouldn't have wounded or fatally wounded a deer, I think. But
whatever. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a lion 2 or 3 bites to kill. So, you know, that's just the way it goes.
So, yeah. Because it's so funny because I sent a picture to my buddies, the guys that work for me, the guides, and he automatically, that's the first thing he sends me. Didn't even congratulate me, the fucker. He sends me, he's like, I see you got 1 missing arrow in your quiver and 2 bloody ones.
Right.
He goes, it was a gun show, wasn't it? Yeah. So I had to explain it to him why. And then after we took pictures with the deer, I walked back and then there my arrow was that we didn't find until after. Yeah, it kind of like slid underneath the grass. You know, because he was laying on the ground when I shot him. Yeah. He came out and went in the grass and I saw it. But anyway.
None of your arrows broke, right?
No. No. No, that broadhead that I hit him in the throat with, the one that hit this, you know, back of the spine, that was pretty mangled.
Broadhead was. Right.
But the arrows were Gucci.
So then you are jumping up and down on the field with your arms up.
Like a lunatic because it was a really good slump buster for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Super good. Slump buster. I know that you've been, you know, it happens to everybody, but you've been down and discouraged and stuff just because hunting sometimes takes a crap on you. So that was awesome. And then, so Dan and I get the truck basically and make our way over there, and John's just like pacing back and forth. He's on cloud 9. And we walk up to a big old buck, a really big buck.
Yeah.
Your second biggest buck in South Dakota.
My second biggest buck in South Dakota. And my second 4x2.
Had the buck been normal. Yeah. Yeah, it was a giant 4x2.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Now, if you're in South Dakota. If
South Dakota, it's a 5x3.
No, didn't it have it would have been a 5x6. Wasn't there 2?
No, it would have been a 5x4. Yeah, say he has 2 brow ties.
Forgot
on the one side. Not really a brow tie, but he has another sticker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I was talking about when he first saw it.
Yeah.
I was all confused. Yeah, anyway.
Well, that was the thing. So Dan was confusing.
So apparently
the whole trip.
Okay, so when I first moved from
descriptions.
So in Michigan, the East Coast, anywhere, you know, whitetails, everybody counts the brow, you know, if an 8-point, we call them 8 points.
Well, yeah, but you call it an 8-point. You don't say, oh, he's a 6x3 or whatever, you know.
But an 8-point, if I was to say that to a Western hunter, they'd be like, oh, it has 4 tines, and then brow tines don't even count.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so, no, even if you set an 8-point, set an 8-point to somebody,
what would
they would think there was 8 points on one side.
On one side, that's right. Because so it's even more, exactly.
They would think you're talking about an elk.
Like a 6, it would have 6, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So like an 8x8, right.
It's so funny how that is, yeah.
So apparently in South Dakota, mule deer, at least to
you some just of count the everything
or whatever. They just count everything, which is how I grew up counting things.
But they still use the Westerner lingo of, right, you know, 5x4 or 3x4 or whatever.
Yeah.
But they count all the points. It's like a mix of the two. That's why I said it. I told you earlier. I was like, South Dakota is where the West meets the Midwest.
Yeah.
But it's really it's really the Midwest.
Yeah. So anyways, just some cultural fun stuff there. But so you shot a giant buck. It was a 4x2, mm-hmm. And then we took a bunch of pictures. Had fun. Yeah. We had like the whole day. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went on some tours. We went on some of the neighbors' tour. Well, actually, the guy that
we went look at the neighboring. The neighbor has a hunting outfit.
Staying in one of his cabins or house or whatever right now, and then he's got a giant place where he does hunts and stuff, and so we went on a tour and met some of the locals. And I mean, really, compared to every hunt you and I have been on, this has been the most This has been the most relaxed and
least,
you know, it's always
and it didn't start off that way.
It's always us going to day seven. No, it didn't start off because our plane was delayed 3 hours. We got here
4 hours,
two in the morning or whatever the heck it was. Yeah,
oh god, that was rotten.
It was just like, here we go again. Here's another
John Stallone special.
Here's another start. Yeah, to just, you know, but it was.
We're sitting on the plane and they tell us to deboard, and you looked at me. This is your fault.
That's what I said. I was like, this is your fault. This is your fault right now. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to rent a car and drive to South Dakota.
Yeah.
From Arizona. Shit.
If you would have driven from your house that morning when you woke up, you probably would have got there at the same time.
Yeah, that would have really been terrible. But, yeah, I would have been really tired.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't do that.
So. What else?
Success. That was.
Yeah, that's it.
There wasn't
a whole lot of ups and downs. There was
nothing but success on this. We had nothing but success on this trip.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Two shots. I mean, you took more just because, but you didn't need to.
Right. But,
you know.
Whatever.
Two shots, two dead bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
how big is the freaking deer? We pulled yours out, I was like, oh my God, this is a big freaking deer.
I don't know how to put a weight on them. I don't know. It's hard.
It's hard for me to say. I know that I'm just shy of 200. And how much do you weigh, Dan? A buck 75. And him and I both were pulling straight down on that rope to pull him up on the pulley.
Yeah.
And we weren't budging him.
Oh, they're. It's. I would say it's. I would say your average 2-year-old mule deer and up here is going to be around. You're starting at like 240 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going up to like 320 probably. We'd have to weigh it.
I looked it up on the Fishing Game today, and it said yearling buck. Basically said a bucks can be anywhere from 175 pounds to 350 pounds or 330, was it? Yeah, 330.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Let's just, you know. So, for me, it's awesome to look at them. It's surprising to me. It's what's crazy to me about that is how I know whitetails get big. They're not that big, though, as a mule deer generally. But it's just crazy to me how they will push mule deer around and be more aggressive than them. Like, it kind of blows my mind.
The whitetail here do get as big. The bodies here, they do get as big here. On the prairie?
I've never killed one out here.
Yes.
In the hills, they're small.
In the hills, they're smaller. They're small, but they're still 200 pounds.
Because these are farm bucks here, so they're, like in southern Michigan, they're always way bigger than northern Michigan because they're just eating corn.
I mean, that buck that we saw today, this afternoon, that big whitetail, he's a big buck.
He's not like big like your mule deer.
You're right. He's not.
It's just crazy torpedo, to me that they're just.
He's a brick house.
They're like little pit bulls or something. It's weird how whitetails will. Be more aggressive.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting to me. Because normally it's all size that wins. You know? I don't know. It's just such a... Mule deer are new to me, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. But just stuff that
I don't know. I've seen...
you guys hear,
I've seen little coos deer bucks go after mule deer. So you're right.
Right.
It's an attitude thing. Whitetail are definitely more aggressive.
Yeah.
Definitely more aggressive.
We got some.
Yeah, so we spent the rest of the afternoon improving the hunting here because now it's 100% official that we're going to be running hunts out of here.
Yeah.
Select few clients.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think that's going to be hard. I don't know.
Well, I mean, where
it's
where
hard for me to think of a place that would be. I mean, maybe you could think of a place where like the size. Of the mass of the antlers, like just genetically would be bigger because some states are different.
Yeah, though? This place has got the genetics. It's just,
I'm trying to stretch for any kind of a negative here because that's...
This is what the negative is. The negative is they have a rifle season during the rut and this is a giant piece of land. I would say... Yeah, most states don't have...
in the West? They don't? Okay.
No.
So they don't have a rifle season during the rut?
Right. And that rifle season during the rut here doesn't allow the bucks to get to the age.
Right.
I mean, your buck I think, and I mean, I'm going to really look at him. I'm going to look at his teeth and everything. But I don't think your buck, he's probably, he's either 2.5, he might be 3.5 years old.
I would agree, yeah, yeah.
I think my buck is maybe 5.5.
Yeah.
You get a buck like that, like my buck, your buck. Look at, I mean, look how big your buck is, like body size. Look how well, like, good shape he is. And he has a pretty good rack for his age.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So no. If you can get a buck like that to 7,
yeah,
forget about it, man.
Yeah.
That's a 190-inch, 200-inch deer.
All I know is everywhere we looked, today when we were setting up blinds at 1, what time was it? 1:30 again? So it gets dark, completely dark, can't shoot anymore. Sunset's at 4:30, completely done at 5. Here it is at 1:30, we're setting up a blind. Again, 150, 200 yards from the tree stand, in the same spot. We only need an acre to hunt here.
Right.
Here comes...
We got, what, 4,000?
Here comes 3 or 4 does, which is already 7 or 8 does to our left, right? Not that far away that we drove by. Here comes 3 or 4 does, and here comes a big old 4x4 just with his head down following the does.
Yeah.
Walking basically right up the lane up to us.
Again,
until,
lip curling, phlegming.
Yeah, lip curling, like, everything until the does, you know, saw us, and then they took off. And it's like...
That was an 80-yard shot. I could have totally whacked that buck.
Yeah. So...
Out of clear shot at him.
Yeah, no, we'll be able to... We'll have some people with us. We'll be able to sell some hunts here.
Well, I mean,
sure.
So that's the thing. Like, where in the United States, if you look at any guided hunt in the United States for mule deer... is 6,500 and more. And if you want to go have the experience that you have here, okay, so I say that, 6,500 and more. Okay, you could come hunt in Arizona with me during the archery season, but we're hunting public land. We're hunting, I don't want to say pressure deer, but we're hunting public land that we're, you know, I try to get away from as many people as possible, and it doesn't always happen.
Right.
But, so yes, you can hunt that hunt for about $4,500.
And plus you don't have you don't have a sweet house there to stay in.
Yeah, it's different.
That's a half mile away.
Exactly. It's not cush. It's not cush. You're sleeping in a trailer.
100 yards away, actually, from the property. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
You put a blind on the other side of these trees at 75 yards.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. No joke, 75 yards away you can shoot deer. But anyway, you know, you're sleeping in a trailer. It's a nice setup, and it's a fun hunt. It's probably, next to this hunt, is my second favorite hunt. It's a different hunt. The weather's beautiful. That's the other thing. You cannot beat that. The weather's beautiful. I don't want to downplay it because you're not hunting in miserable weather. That's the negative. Yeah. If you were looking for the negative is... the negative degrees that you hunt.
The weather's really beautiful here if you keep a good attitude.
Yeah.
And you stay inside.
Yeah. If you can hack the weather, this place is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, and, I mean, it's so great because it lends itself to so many different ways to hunt, too. If you want to go pure spot and stalk like we did last year, and, you know, and like I did, well, 2 years prior when I shot my buck here, when I first secured this land.
You can go all day long.
I did everything. I pulled out all the stops. I called them in, I decoyed, I spot and stalked, I sat, and I literally had opportunities. I passed bucks. I drew down on, if you've watched my film on that hunt, I drew down on a smaller 4x4 that, you know, like it just had lots of opportunity. Last year, we had shit tons of opportunity. Matter of fact, and, you know, not to bring up sort of subjects, but
bring it up.
It was by no fault of yours.
I shot and lost a giant buck?
Yeah, you shot and lost a giant buck.
Totally.
No fault of yours. That buck spun. I don't even know how. I've never seen a mule deer move that fast.
Yeah.
But I know why, because you were shooting 700 grain arrows and they fucking fly 2 feet per second. That's why. But he changed that. He changed that. Now he's shooting 500 grain arrows.
Yeah, now I'm 500.
But anyway.
I can't.
You had like, and I had great opportunity. And I, my, the last night I had the best freaking opportunity at all. I had a buck at 20 yards, and I couldn't draw my freaking bow. Draw my bow. I was so cold, and I had so much shit on, I could get it three quarters of the way, and I couldn't break it over.
It would be hard for me to...
I should have just let it fly at three quarters. I probably would have killed him. He was 20 yards.
Yeah. It'd be hard for me to make up a better hunt in my head. And the weather is a part of it. There is something cool about it. I mean, that's why we have all this gear.
Yeah.
So
we're putting the sick.
I got all the stinking gear, so you know, get out there
to the test.
Get out there and make it happen. And there's a part of me that's like, you know, these deer aren't expecting anything come after them. Well, yeah. they're not used to people anyways. But it's just cool to. It's cool to do that. Spot and stalk, still hunt, sit in a tree stand, sit in a blind, all these things.
Spot and ambush.
But the
decoying, the using of, horses,
yeah,
well, calling, all of it works, man.
Last year I hunted here for 6 days, and then this year I hunted here for one. But I was here for an additional couple days. I'm still here right now. Yeah. So over 10 days that I've been here, I've seen more bucks here than I've seen in – if I was to put together months and months of hunting in other places. That's like, it's crazy how many deer I'm seeing. Like, this is the hunt I look forward to. And this year, even though I'd only been here 1 year, I'm like, this is the hunt I'm looking forward to. Like, if I don't go to Idaho and hunt elk, that's fine.
Why I've been hunting here since 2004, man.
This blows my mind. And next year I'm going to shoot a bigger buck. It's like, you know, I'm baby steps. Yeah, I'm going to go after a bigger buck. I mean, I know that there are bigger bucks. I know the place a little bit better. Definitely from last year to this year, seeing the same things, I have more confidence in the rhythm that I see what they're doing. They're doing the same things. Yeah. It's just, I'm blown away by it. I can't wait till next year. I want to go to sleep right now and wake up.
And it'd be next year.
And then it's next year already, and it's time to go. Get on the plane. No delays.
I feel you, man. I feel you. It's definitely – so what the plan is – now there's this property and I have the other three.
Yep.
Which are all just as good. I like this one better for me.
Yeah, I haven't even really spent any time on any of those.
But the other ones lend themselves to different ways of hunting that there's giant deer on that. Where Matt's son 2 years ago we took a 172 non typical buck on that one other property that's
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Even know if I saw a picture of that, really.
I probably did. I have it somewhere.
Huh.
I'll show it to you.
Great buck. Did he shoot that with a bow or a gun?
No, he had a youth rifle, right? No, he just had the rifle, that's right, because I came during the rifle season the first time. Yeah. We were here during the rifle season. I was hunting with the bow during the rifle season. Yeah. But, so... The plan is I may do a couple of self-guided or semi-guided.
Yeah.
But I don't – even having the other properties, I don't think it's – I'm trying to limit it because I want it to stay special like this.
Right.
I don't want it to be a, you know, a factory of just pumping guys in and out because
it'll change
the experience. I don't think it'll hurt the actual deer, like the amount of deer, because of what's feeding this place.
Right.
You have the whole Cheyenne River Nation a mile down the draw, basically. And all those bucks feed into this. Like, so, you know, I'm not worried about population wise. So it's not about limiting I just want the experience to stay the way it is. Mm-hmm. So I probably will only guide three or four people on this place or on the property.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I think we're just going to keep it simple and, it's going to be one of those special hunts that, again, well, you know, you said it. You look forward to. I look forward to it. I know that once we get a couple guys on here, it's going to be one of those. They're just going to book out every year.
Hey, I'll do this the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Book me for the next 10
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
No, that's pretty incredible.
Absolutely. So what else? That's it.
That's all we could do.
I want
more tags. I can't even handle
it. I know. I want to go get some more tags.
Driving me nuts to see all these.
How do we get more tags? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, driving me nuts to see all these bucks here because I'm like, oh, my God.
God, this man. Is... You hear a few pheasants?
That pheasants everywhere. Yeah, we can go do some pheasant hunting. What did we see today? Grouse?
Oh, yeah. A
bunch of grouse.
A lot of sharp tails. Yeah. A lot of sharp tail grouse. Several pheasants.
Waterfowl flying over.
Yeah. Oh, man. Lots of geese.
Yeah.
Like, I could get into that. I haven't gone goose hunting in forever.
What'd you say that those geese were? That were
the hutch.
A hutch?
Subspecies of the
Canada goose. It's a Canada goose.
The hutches. Oh, so it's a smaller species.
Hutches,
okay.
Canada goose. I see. I learn something new all the time.
Yeah,
I'm not a waterfowl guy. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I've been known to go a little
waterfowl with
some jerky. That's true. I've been known to do a little bang bang pow pow, but
you ate some balls too.
That's right. We ate some fricasseed nuts
and heart.
Yeah, we ate heart. Mm-hmm. You're both things that I'm like not an organ meat guy. Like, I don't know what it is. Even if it tastes good, like, I got this taboo about eating the heart. Like, I feel like I'm eating the soul of that animal.
So that's why I want to eat the heart.
Yeah.
That's like the, it just seems like the heart seems special to me for that reason.
Okay. I could see that.
I look at it in an angle like where I'm like, I'm definitely always going to eat the heart. Like, yeah. That's the heart of this awesome beast I love chasing. That's pretty cool. So I look at it that way. But I get what you're saying if you're going to talk about, like, the livers or whatever. I mean,
no, liver just tastes like shit. I could tell you right now, I don't like it because I just don't taste that.
It was a mental block for me to not eat testicles.
Well, but testicles. I'm like,
I'm gonna try it. I've heard from so many people. They're like, dude, you gotta try it. It's super good. So,
okay. I could just imagine when I die, some guy fucking fricasseeing my testicles.
It's a little odd to think that way. But no, it's like there's a lot of people that like to eat carp. I will never eat carp.
Smoked carp.
I'm not gonna eat it. I've seen carp do too many nasty things. I've seen them just like with all their eggs flowing out of them and stuff, and they stink so bad, and they're in. Like, I bowfish.
Speaking of stinking so bad, I just farted.
They're in Clear Lake, which is not Clear Lake at all in California. It's the nastiest lake in the world. And I'm like, man, I'll go there and kill them to get them because they're a nuisance. Yeah. But there's some people eating them. I'm like, to me, it's like I'm eating a dumpster. And I know people are like, no, man, they're good. Whatever. It's a mental thing. I'm not going to do it. I don't care how good it is.
You broke through a barrier and tried.
I broke through a barrier with the testicles, and I was like, wow, this is.
He hasn't stopped talking about testicles, just so you know.
I'm probably going to make new shirts. What's those shirts you have? I eat deer.
I eat
testicles.
I eat fast food.
And just have a picture of deer testicles.
There you go.
What was your favorite sign today at the bar?
What was it? Beer, the reason I wake up every
afternoon.
Yeah,
beer, the reason like I wake up every afternoon.
There's some funny... Some funny signs. Yeah. What was it? Beer, the reason I wake up every afternoon. That's what it was.
Yep.
Well, cool. Yep. That probably wraps it up, right?
Yeah, that's about all I got. I mean, we could sit here and ramble about shit.
Yeah, I know.
But
we talked
about anything hunting related to talk. We could do some coyote, thinning out some coyote population tomorrow because that is the one thing I've seen quite a bit of. I glassed up 6 that first morning.
God, there was a lot of tracks this morning in the snow.
Oh, yeah.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Right now would be the time.
I wish I brought my fox, bro, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And neither did Dan. And he didn't have to bring it on a plane. He just had to drive it over here in your truck. You brought the AR and you brought the, what's the other gun? Is it 243? The 243, but you didn't bring the freaking, man. And you didn't bring your bow. What was that about?
What the heck?
So we're trying to talk.
Oh, no, the podcast's over.
No, we haven't ended it yet. It's too long. Yeah, you didn't bring your bow.
Dan, he didn't bring his bow. You know why he didn't bring his bow? Because he remembers last year and how we went to the last minute.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to get an opportunity. Yeah. I mean, Dan comes just to hang out.
Yeah.
I've known Dan since, we figured out 2010?
He thought we were going to blow it again.
And,
I told my mom, last
he
year,
just needs
it took him the whole week. You're coming to watch my boys all week long. No breaks. I said, what if they kill on the first day? No, they're not going to kill on the first day. We're going to be there all week, I told my mom.
Oh, God.
Next year.
But anyway, so Dan is left-handed.
Yep.
And I spent about a half an hour with him outside shooting my bow and your bow, because your bow actually fits him better, which I can't understand. He's taller than me.
Yeah.
How he has a shorter draw. He's got longer arms than I do.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. By a lot. How the hell are you shorter draw length than me?
I don't know what you guys are doing.
Chest sticks out further, yeah.
I guess. I don't know. What the freak is those giant python arms? This guy don't even work out. Look at his freaking guns.
Hey, next year he better be able to do. Yeah.
He can't
do his push-up. Push-up champion.
That's a big part of this story.
Yeah, well, the push-up contest.
Next year.
Hey, just do push-ups.
Next year, 70 straight.
Yeah?
Guarantee it.
Nice. 55 is pretty good, though. That's
55 was good for...
I was impressed.
Next year, go till you can't. Doesn't matter the number.
I just wanted to... I'm so glad that I stopped when I did, because I have a twinge right now in my biceps tendon. I knew it.
We'd be in the emergency room right now. His arm would have fallen off or something.
I was like, you know what? I'm stopping. I'm stopping.
I had to climb the
But so we spent some time with him trying to convince him to shoot one of our bows. All he's got to do is make a 30-yard shot. We stick him in those new ground blinds that we made.
Yeah, he could go out tomorrow morning, which we still...
I am going to put a trail camera.
I think I'm just going to pick you up tomorrow morning, dress you, and throw you in the truck.
No, if we wake him up, he'll go. If we wake him up and go, he'll go.
Yeah. And you just have to limit yourself. Don't take a shot over 30 yards. I know it's going to be tough. You like to fling them at like 120.
Bedtime, man.
I think we should all sit in the blind together.
Seriously, that's too small of a blind.
That would be hilarious.
I was thinking about going with him and sitting behind him and talking him through the steps.
Yeah.
Draw with your hand open.
Yeah.
I kept telling him, I'm like, speak me back the mantra. I'm like, draw with your hand open. Feel the kisser button to your corner of your mouth. Feel the string on the side of your nose. This is a. I am giving you.
Yeah.
I'm giving you my personal guarantee that if you sit in that blind tomorrow morning, you're shooting.
Shot opportunities, guaranteed shot opportunities.
You're gonna shoot at a deer.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
That buck that we saw this afternoon, he's gonna be there. You watch.
Maria.
No, it's one of my employees calling me.
Uh-oh.
I will send him to voicemail and call him back shortly. But. Yeah, I think that wraps it up. Hopefully, we'll have to make a part two to this because we're going to get Dan to go shoot with a right. Go shoot left-handed, go shoot a right-handed bow.
With my whole brain.
Think about that challenge.
Yeah, seriously.
Think about how amazing that'll be when you shoot that giant buck with a right-handed bow that you've never practiced with.
There you go.
Save 10 minutes of practice. And you do that in a blind that we just set up.
If your alarm goes off.
There it is. See? He'll do it. All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to cut it there. I'm cutting it. I'm cutting you guys off. There's too much whiskey to be in drank over here.
Wrap it up. I'm pushing pause. All right. Stop, I mean.
Hey, guys. If you're looking for something to do this December, January, or February, if your hunting is over and you're looking for an awesome adventure, come check us out. Come hunt either deer or javelina with me and the Days in the Wild crew here in Arizona. Check out the website, daysinthewild.com. Check out my blog, johnstallone.me, for specials. Or just get a hold of me through social media and we can see if we can put something together for you. It's a fun time, lots of great experiences, over-the-counter tags for deer archery, and some leftover tags right now for javelina. So give me a call or hit me up on social media, and we'll see if we can put something together for you.